our newest exciting venture is a Tumblr. So check us out at dimblemamas.tumblr.com.
And
mamas.tumblr.com.
And our first Tumblr post is lit. What's the name of the Tumblr post? What is it called?
The Tumblr post is entitled Kellyanne Conway is the new Miss Anne and White Women's Worst Nightmare. Y'all know that's been rattling in my spirit since we started this podcast. So y'all know I got stuff to say.
And we have been thinking about starting a blog, but we were going to put it off. But in the wake of the Women's March, which happened on Saturday, January 21st, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The day after the inauguration, women marched all over the world, but a lot of Black women were opting out of the march, decided not to attend, faced some pushback from white women. And when we were expressing why we didn't want to attend, we were seen as being divisive, which showed us that people really don't know the history or the relationship of Black women and white women in America. And part of that relationship is the Miss Anne icon. The essay that Fia wrote really, really explores that. And we were also inspired by Jamila Lemieux, who is the vice president for men's programming at Interactive One, and she was a former editor at Ebony as well. She wrote an article on colorlines.com about why she was opting out of the Women's March. But we wanted to explore in this essay the particular relationship dating back to slavery of Black women and white women in this country, and how that relationship is still playing out today. So
absolutely,
it's a fantastic post.
And Kellyanne Conway provides the perfect opportunity to look at modern day Miss Anne. Mm-hmm. You know, I think for every sign there was out there about Trump, there should have been another sign about Kellyanne Conway. And there wasn't, because literally she got him across the threshold of the White House. Mm-hmm. It was her that came out after the video of him on the bus and legitimized him signaled mm-hmm. to other white women that he was okay to continue to support. But that's what Miss Anne does. And if you understand the history of Miss Anne, you also understand how not just inappropriate, but just blatantly unfair it is to question Black women's sisterhood or allegiance to anything. You shouldn't even fix your mouth to do that. And hopefully after they read this essay, they won't. But the idea also that you've assigned yourself as my sister based on our genitalia, when that's something that's much deeper for us than just genitals. Sister is such a big word with so much responsibility and love and bond
in the Black community.
Yes, especially because, you know, our sisters were not always about blood. Our sisters were about who was there in the trenches with us at the time. And like, that's what sisterhood at the end of the day means. Who has your back, like, unwavering, and that's not you. And you need to accept that. And why you would assign yourself that title without hell asking me. I mean,
and like Thea said, sisterhood in our community wasn't always about blood, because it couldn't be.
Right.
The average slave in America was sold 4 times.
Yes.
So blood ties were always being broken.
Yeah.
So sisterhood was created out of a sense of support and not a sense of bloodline. And let me just say, Tamika Mallory, Black woman, Black mother, one of the co-chairs of the march, this is not an attack on them.
No.
In fact, appreciate the fact that they were willing to come to the table, and we even celebrated them for that. But this is an understanding that both can be done. There can be Black women who choose to be at the table, and there can be Black women who don't choose to be at the table.
And both are valid.
Because of the both are valid because of the history of the relationship of Black women and white women in this country. And we have to face both sides of that, not just the sides that we are comfortable with, if we truly not only want to progress, but if we want to heal.
Yes. And I think that's the big part. Like, I think that. Go ahead.
I think that a lot of people, of course we know it because we live this, but a lot of the people who are really confused by the fact that we weren't all 100% all in don't necessarily understand how weighty the character of Miss Anne was throughout the entire,
is.
It still is.
Every picture.
Now,
Every
she was
lynching.
Instrumental in the degradation and the humiliation and the physicality of the oppression. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was at her hand. And if you read the piece, Thea goes really poignantly into some of the laws that were put into effect to protect Miss Anne. There was always so much around to protect the role that she played in our hurt, in our dying, that it makes sense to me still in this day to be very wary about who it is I'm trusting and calling my sister in the fight because they have not yet proven themselves to be that way. And to Chris's point,
all the way through now. All the way through now, we put up pictures of, like, you know, at the Trump rally, there's a black woman, there's white women there, and they are doing nothing for her as our sister, right? You look at integration pictures. There's mainly white women who didn't want their kids going to school with black kids. You look at lynching pictures. They're in the photos. You look at, I mean, you're there. You are there. You are complicit. You are equal partners. You were protected under the same laws. You cannot separate yourself from your man and hide behind him like he's the racist and you're not when it's convenient for you. And the other thing is this whole backlash against black women. And I want to say, I retweeted things about the march. I supported things. I mean, I thought, hey, if that's what you want to do, I think everyone should do it. But I think you should also respect my right to say I don't want to do it. And that I'm tired. And the appropriate response would have been, okay, I got you. You know, sit this one out. But I think their reaction to us was also very indicative of their expectation that we be, and everyone's expectation, quite frankly, that we be the workhorse for rights and civil rights in this country. We're not, we are the vanguard, right? Because no civil rights have been won in this country without us ever on any level, but we're also now expected to be the workhorse of it. So whenever there's something, it's like, well, where are the black women? And it's like, at some point, something happened within the last few years where we stopped looking back to see if you were looking for us or validating us. And now we're realizing there's things we want to do internally to move ourselves forward. Now we're building things and we're working on things internally, and our way of resisting or our way of healing and our way of moving forward does not look the same, because it's not centered on this idea of unity. It's actually centered on this idea of health for us.
I want to point out something important about Miss Anne and the reason why it's important for all white women to acknowledge Miss Anne, because there'll be a lot of white women who hear the term Miss Anne and say, oh, well, that doesn't apply to me. You know, I'm in the fight. I'm there for black women. But here's the thing. Black women and black people hold each other accountable and call each other out or call each other in all the time. When people went to go meet with Donald Trump without an agenda, when people sang at his inauguration, when people worked for him, I can take you all the way back to George Bush, when people called out Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell. Black people have always been willing to call out our own people who we feel are working against our interests. I'm not saying that Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell were, but I'm saying black people were willing to call them out. Black people were even willing to call out President Obama, the first black president of the United States of America. So what I think black women who don't identify, white women, excuse me, who don't identify as Miss Anne failed to do is call out the Miss Anns in their community and hold them accountable. Instead, they try to make room for them at the table. They place them as, oh, like I hear so many female journalists saying, oh, she's such a nice, Kellyanne Conway is such a nice person. She is a racist and she perpetuates a white supremacist agenda. And there have been no prominent white women willing to say that about her.
Yes.
I have looked for it. The only white woman who was willing to call her to task was Rachel Maddow. And even when she did it behind Trump's agenda. She didn't call her out as being
complicit
in that agenda. And so even if you don't identify as a Miss Anne, what black women are saying to white women right now is that you need to go into your community and you need to call out the Miss Annes, just like we call them out people in our community who we feel are working against the interests and the survival of black people.
So and you do that by recognizing, first, let me check, make sure I don't have no Miss Anne in me. Because probably do. I mean, I have, you know, I don't have a lot, but there's like two white women that I feel like are really down. But, you know, they, part of their strategy to make sure that they're in the right spaces is to check for the inner Miss Anne. But I do think, and I stand by the fact that the visuals of the march sent a message to the world that we were not just taking this, that we were not accepting mm-hmm. of this, which I think is very important. These images are important for the world to see, you know, in case anybody thinking about bombing us, there's a couple folks here that, you know, may not be in agreement that you might not want to bomb. But I do think, you know, you haven't done anything since, like, okay, 53% of y'all voted for him. I haven't seen inner work. I've just seen you organize a march.
I'm waiting for what happens after the march. I really am. We want to mm-hmm. see.
That's a lot of work to do.
And there's a, they have 10 steps within 100 days that they're sending out that you can do. And again, I think that that is great. But at some point, you have to acknowledge that you have to heal.
Right.
Because if we don't, we keep building things. We're building a movement. We're building things, but we're not healing. So what does a movement built on something that isn't healed do?
Yeah.
It's like quicksand. You know what I mean? It's like building well, on quicksand.
But so also, point, they're going out here to march. They're going out here to march to prove that they're not a part of the 53%. See, and so this King makes this distinction very clear in that speech. In the speech that King does,
I'm not either, because there were women at that march that voted for Trump.
Absolutely. Yeah.
There were women at that march.
So, but my point is that King, in his speech, The Other America, makes this point that he realized that the people who came out were coming out against the violence of Bull Connor, but not for the equity of Black people. And this mm-hmm. is a distinction. A lot of people out there were coming out there to say, you know, that's not who we are, but not to say we are here to support the equity of X, Y, and Z. They're out there for their own agenda to make themselves look a certain type of way. And that's clear in the fact that what actual work have you done? The other thing he says is there's never been a single monistic, committed
movement
from white America to end racism. So when I say I'm sitting out and I'm not engaging in false allyship, this is what I mean. Like, to me, false allyship is we're out here about two different issues. And you know, we're just pretending right now because it worked for you. But at the end of the day, I'll be at two rallies and you'll be at one. And I'm still waiting to see this single monistic, committed effort come from within your group. And until then, I don't think we have an allyship, because I don't need you to come over here to my group and help me fight racism. I need you to start a movement within your group to start to end racism.
And I've looked at the Women's March agenda, and I think that it's very progressive. I think it's a good agenda. It's an agenda that I am mm-hmm. in support of. But I do think that the other thing that has to happen is that white women have to stop responding from a place of privilege.
Fragility.
And a place of discomfort, because it doesn't feel good.
And a place of, because the man is the racist, the white man is the racist,
right.
But we're not. That is the issue. That's the that's the Kellyanne, Miss Anne issue.
I feel like that's been a real key aspect of Miss Anne from the beginning, is this, I'm innocent, I'm fragile, I'm mm-hmm. not the bad guy, mm-hmm. but behind closed doors, mm-hmm. given the opportunity, she was meting out mm-hmm. punishment as much or more than her mm-hmm. white counterpart. And we need to acknowledge mm-hmm. that. We need to say that. And so hiding behind her fragility, we don't believe that anymore. We never
have. No.
I mean, Kellyanne Conway is the person who went on TV and said, maybe it's time for Donald Trump to install his own intelligence people.
She means that.
Like, she did. Said that.
Yes, she did. She said the one who said alternative facts. Charles Blow has given us the appropriate language to refer to Kellyanne Conway. She will now be known as Trump's mistress of misdirection. Okay? Check the article, y'all. It's called A Lie by Any Other Name.
So go to our Tumblr, check out this amazing piece by Miss Thea Monnier, and let us know your thoughts on it.
Yay!